us, that, Lord, you bring revelation, that you would change our hearts and change our minds, and our perspectives would change. But I do pray, Father, as we leave this place, that it be a place of victory, that we would know who we belong to and the victory that we've gained in you, Lord, and that everyone would walk out here with a fresh understanding to live a victorious life. And we thank you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the Lord's Prayer, and we can be dealing with one of the last phrases there. It says the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, many folk don't talk about the evil one or get preoccupied with him, but let me just tell you that evil exists because there is an evil one. We call him the devil. We know him as Satan. He was originally known as Lucifer, but he was the enemy of God. He was an opponent of God, an arch enemy of God. He withstood God. He's actually the accuser of the brethren. And he's against us. He's adversary of God. He's against us as his people. And he is, small l, the Lord of evil. Now, many unbelievers don't believe that he exists. But I want to just say that God sent his son into the world because evil exists. And we know from the book of Genesis, there was a fall of man because sin, Adam and Eve sinned, and that's what we have had, a sinful nature that came through the evil one that enticed them, caused them to sin. But here God, the Lord actually teaches us that we need to pray for deliverance. So let's get our Bibles out and let's turn to the wonderful text that we've been reading through, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. I want to read that to you again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15, it's the Lord's Prayer. I want to really encourage you. We've been studying the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to be praying the Lord's Prayer. I think it's not something that was earmarked just for our schooling, or even seems to be not in the schooling anymore. We need to be praying it as families. You need to be praying for yourself individually. There's something very powerful, not just in rote, but with understanding. Be praying this wonderful prayer the Lord taught us to pray. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. So firstly, I want to deal with your redemption. And there's a wonderful scripture in Colossians, which I read from Colossians 1, verse 13 to 14. Paul talks to the church in Colossae. He says, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Other versions say that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, or the domain, as a domain of darkness, and been transferred or conveyed or brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And this is a very important point that we need to know. Many Christians, and even us here today, may think we are still under the kingdom of darkness. We're not. Or the dominion of darkness. It's not a kingdom. It's a dominion of darkness. You're not. God took you out of the dominion. Jesus, he came and he delivered you. He took you. Come, Andrew, come stand here, please. Sorry, my boy. He's not being preempted here. You were blind. You couldn't see. Can you see? Say, I can't hear you. Can't see. So you were blind and you were in darkness. And then when you were walking around, you were trying to feel your way. You had a stick, hey, that you couldn't see. But then Jesus came and he took away your blindness. And then he took you by your hand. And he came and he transferred you into his kingdom. So now you can praise and you are free and liberated. That's where you are. Now that is a truth that many Christians don't know. They still think they ain't blind and they're under the authority of the evil one. No, you're not. You've been delivered of that. But then we're going to see why God actually tells us to pray the prayer. But the fact is, you belong to the kingdom of the Son. You've been transferred. You've been conveyed. You're in a different place. Your position has changed. You're no longer there. You're here in this world of place. And we're all in that place. And that's when victory starts to take place. You don't belong to the devil anymore. because he was in charge before, and you belong to him because of sin. You belong to Jesus now, and you're under his authority. That's why we need to confess him as Lord, because there's an authority thing. Jesus is now Lord of your life, Andrew. You know that. Hey, you're free and you're liberated. And that's important, because now from this position, you can start to live a victorious life. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Very, very important. And you need to know that God has set you free and you've been handed over to Jesus, who's now your Lord. And that's why we got to trust him. The next point is, we've got this but. Why did Jesus put this but? Because we learned last week or the week before that lead us not into temptation. God doesn't want us to be subjected to the evil one. He really doesn't. And that's why there's this double, that lead us not into temptation. God doesn't want us to fall into trials prematurely, or he wants to protect us from that. And also, but he doesn't want the enemy to have authority over us. But I also want to just say to us is that we pray this prayer, but God has given us authority over the evil one. You're not actually wiser than the devil. He's actually very clever. And he's been working with mankind for how many thousands of years? He's been working and deceiving man. Don't think you're cleverer than the devil. That's why we need God, the Holy Spirit. He needs to guide us and lead us. That's why we need the spirit of discernment to understand the wiles of the enemy. We don't always understand when the enemy's coming against us, and we think we do. Sometimes we need to discern which is of ourselves, which is the flesh, or which is of the devil. And sometimes we can't differentiate, and including ourselves. And we blame the devil for everything. But sometimes we don't blame him for anything where he is actually in charge. But sometimes we blind our eyes and we don't see the enemy actually working there. So we need to be praying this prayer on a daily basis that we would not fall under the outworking of darkness. So this prayer should be prayed daily. I want to encourage you, but deliver us from the evil one. It's not something that we just resist the devil when it comes. Pray daily for this thing, because that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. There's an enemy out there that wants to destroy you, and you need to pray this prayer. And when you pray this prayer, God starts to do something on your behalf. The next point, deliver us. As I said, we need to be praying this for ourselves and for the church. I think it's not just isolated. We become individualistic where the world teaches us, but we actually need to be thinking bigger than ourselves. Do you pray for the church? I hope you do, because it's bigger than ourselves. And as you pray not only for this church, but the church worldwide, there's something as when we start to do that, as we start to intercede, God starts to do something in an incredible way. Many Christians do not have this revelation that we have authority over the devil. And when we start to apply that, we set people free. Do you know that? We set people free. I was the other day, had opportunity, I don't watch much TV, but I switched on, the God TV was there, and they had Billy Graham, and they had one of his old crusades. And Billy Graham was talking, saying, we put so much emphasis on the devil, and we put so much emphasis on demons and the outworking of that. He says, what about God's ministering spirits called angels? And I want to just say in Psalm 91, verse 11 to 13, for he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, and you will trample underfoot. Yeah, the angels will help us to overcome. When we pray that prayer, deliver us from the evil one, the angels are there protecting you. You know, I don't know if you recall matters in your life. I'm sure you've been through harrowing experiences in your life, whether it's been driving down a road and someone has come across your way and swerved. I remember many, many years ago, I was driving in Alberton, and I was just nonchalant, just driving, minding my own business, and someone swerved in front of me. And the next thing, my steering wheel just went shoo, shoo. And I got around this vehicle, and I couldn't drive. I was a young driver. That was an angel that actually took that steering wheel and guided it. you know, the angels are there. And I don't know how many times we'll look back one day and see when we've prayed this prayer that God commissions these angels to protect you. So we've all got a guardian angel, but when we pray this, we give God authority to send his angels to go and protect us. My mom will remember as a 12-year-old, we lived in Germiston and we had a garage section at the back there, and it was like a big A-frame roof. And I would sit on the top there and watch the neighbor revving his motorbike. And as a young boy there, and there were electrical wires. The wires weren't put in the ground in those days. There were two cables that were running there. And goodness knows why my hands fell on those electrical wires. But then I was shaking. My mom was screaming there. And the next thing, I was released. And I fell down, and I landed not on the concrete. I landed on a grass patch. And the only thing that was burnt was my hands. I never broke a bone or anything. God protected me because he had a call upon my life. And the same with you. He protects you. His angels are there to do this. So there's the unseen. Not so much the devils always that are working. We have the angels that are working as ministering spirits to protect you. So I want to just say is when you're praying, deliver, there's these ministering spirits that God will actually send. And I want to say, allow God. You know, we can't command angels to do anything. We've got to ask God to pray. We mustn't focus on them, but they are there. And you know, Jesus, when he stood before Pontius Pilate, he said, I can call how many? The legion of angels that can come. Jesus was tempted in the desert, and when he was broken and he was famished and 40 days without food, I don't know if it was without water, but then the angels came and ministered to him. Now, if Jesus lived like that, I think the angels can come and minister to us. So there are needs that we have that God wants to do. So, you know, Franco prayed and showed us the way that how do we, our financial provision. So when we sow, who's going to go and do the work? God's going to send his angels to go and provide for you and open up the doors that supernaturally things can be provided for you. I was reading this morning in my daily devotion is that Hezekiah had the king of Assyria that was about to attack them, and he was praying, Lord, you need to help us. We cannot withstand this mighty army of the Assyrians. God sent the angel of the Lord and killed 185,000 of their soldiers. So we don't understand. These attacks, one angel, go and read the book of Revelation and see the power of these angels that God has placed. And the Bible actually says that you have a guardian angel that's there assigned to you when you come to Christ to protect you. So when you pray this prayer, very, very important that God commissions these angels to come alongside you and to protect you in everything that you do. Okay, the next point, the existence of evil. I say again, God sent his son into the world because evil exists. The Christian, you and I, are at war. We're at spiritual war because the devil knows that his time is up and he's going to be gained where? To the lake of fire. But that's going to take in future time, and he's going to be punished with him and his devils forever and ever. And he knows that. And sometimes I don't like talking to the devil, but sometimes when we gain things, you need to remind him and tell him that the scripture says, he says, you go into the lake of fire and you're going to burn and you're going to be punished forever and ever and ever. You know, there's a theory that's going out there and it's coming into the church, and this is, I believe, a false doctrine, that they are saying that there is no hell. And they've got this theory that says that it's annihilation. If you do not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, there's annihilation, like you never existed. My Bible does not teach that. Your Bible too doesn't teach that. It says that if you haven't confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to be banished from God's presence. And the place earmarked when you're banished is a place of punishment because of sin. You haven't taken on the grace of God. And there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Tom Ingalls mentioned to us, there'll be no music in hell. No music. So the joy that we have, and I love what the youngsters, they just love music. It's amazing, youngsters just love music. Hey, Andrew and Kayla, can't get away from music. And now my car's been adapted to a stereo system. As soon as we get in, the aux gets in, and I'm going to listen to their music. Keep it up, Andrew. I'm like listening. They actually like our old music. He loves the 80s, hey? Hey, Depeche Mode and all those things. He's loving those at the moment. But where in hell, what do we find? We find that there is no music. Oh, sorry, Andrew. Sorry. Before conversion, we were blind, and as we said, we were in dominion of darkness, and the God of this world ruled and reigned over us. But when we became born again and found new birth, we exchanged lives, and we became translated into the kingdom of the Son. But now, when you become and belong to Jesus, I want to tell you, the devil hates Christ, and he hates you. You never chose him, but he's your enemy now. And he's against you because he hates Christ and because Christ is in you. Isn't that? God put his stamp, he put his person of himself inside of you. And when the devil sees you, he sees Christ and he hates the Christ in you, and he will do everything to destroy you. He will do everything to destroy you. So the Bible says here in Matthew 10 verse 16, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. We need to be shrewd. We need to be innocent in these times, because there's much evil out there that the devil will try and lead us into. The next point, the evil one is the explanation of all troubles. In John 16, 33, I've told you these things so that you may have my peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We as Christians are not exempt from the attacks of the enemy, the fiery darts that will come against us, the suffering, sometimes ill health, financial adversity. Why don't you say sometimes your financial difficulties that you might be finding might be the adversary, Satan himself, and you need to take authority over those things. You've done everything. You've been obedient to God. I know the scripture says he will protect you and he will rebuke the devourer, but the devourer will come to try and take away what God has provided for you. You know, it comes to me when Abraham made a covenant with God and he cut the animal in half. The vultures came to take the carcasses away, and he had to go and shoo them away that they wouldn't eat, because he was making covenant. That's our responsibility. God's not going to do that. We have to shoo, in a sense, get the devil away from the things that which is ours. And sometimes we've got to become possessive what God has actually given us, and we've got to take authority where the enemy would try and take away from us. So spiritual heads of the home, take authority over the evil. Don't get preoccupied with the devil, but know where you should be and take that authority. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And sometimes those hardships are not God orchestrated. The enemy will try and come against us. Paul says here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And I want to just say, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there with you. Call upon his name. And in verse 18, it says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The fiery darts will come. The fiery darts will come. But we've been given a shield of faith that we can quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And I want to just say, as much as God doesn't want us to fall into temptation, these darts will come, and we've got to recognize them. Don't be stupid and don't recognize that the enemy cannot do these things. He can. I've gone ahead of myself. In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent out to find about your faith. I was afraid that somewhere the tempter might have tempted you and your efforts might have been useless. The devil is a tempter. He tempted Jesus, but he overcame by the power of the word. But remember, Jesus is always with you. Satan, not God, is sometimes the reason for suffering. He's the reason for evil. He's the explanation for earthquakes, for famine, poverty, hatred, radical prejudice, wars, corruption. We see relevant in politics and business. Injustices in our banking system, the immorality that's taking place in our teaching, in our schools. The evil one is alive at every level of society. trying to break down the values of a godly system that we've tried to put in place. The next point, the essence of evil. We have to be trained to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The scripture says, evil one, not evil. And it's very important that there's a person called devil out there, and the original Greek says that it is the evil one. It's even in further scriptures, in Ephesians 6, it talks about the evil one. And, you know, evil is a system, but there's a person, devil, that's behind it, and we need to be prayed to be delivered from him. He exists, he is evil and totally wicked, he's active and alive and well, yet he's still under God's authority and under his control. He's the father of lies, and he can only speak lies, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, examples of evil. He loves to terrorize. He's the author and perfecter of fear. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. All of us face fear. All of us. And we need to stand against that spirit of fear, because it is a spirit of fear. And you need to take authority. And sometimes we get so anxious about life, and I'm included in that. And sometimes we try and work it out in our own strength. Sometimes we need to take authority, and we need to resist that spirit of fear, because God has given us his power and his love and a sound mind. Remember, he's only lying at you. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelation 12, verse 10. Secondly, the devil's job is to tempt. He tempted Jesus, but he continues to tempt us. What are some of the main things that he tempts us with? He was kicked out of heaven because he was proud. He still comes with pride today. All of us are susceptible to pride. And we've got to watch for that thing, and you've got to watch your heart, and that's why you need others, brothers and sisters, to guide us and in your marriages. Pride comes in very easy, and the scripture says pride comes before the fall. So be wary of pride. The easiest way to deal with pride, be humble. Be humble and always keep yourself in a place of weakness before God and before one another. Not as a doormat, but a weakness of submission is such a key thing to live in a prosperous life, and you won't be tempted by the evil one. Sexual temptation. This is there too. The devil comes and he tempts with sexual temptation. As we spoke the other day, why is there such a proliferation of pornography and the outworking of sexual immorality? It's because of the sexual temptation. The devil is an expert at this area, and demons that are working this thing. And I want to say, sexual temptation comes to the church too. And we all fall into those things, and God forgives. But if you are in sexual temptation at this point in time and things are happening in your life, I want to just say to you with the kindness of my heart, stop it. Don't continue with it. It will lead to destruction. We are not immune from sexual temptation. You need to stand against it, trust God to overcome it, and in that find victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. And thirdly, unbelief. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Unbelief is such a real thing. It comes so easily. When you start to doubt the deity of who our God is, unbelief sets in. And Jesus said he couldn't do all these miracles because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a problem. It's a major problem. And the devil tries to bring, because we'll talk about it now, but if he can bring doubt, and if he can put but into your life, and he can put if into your life, he brings this unbelief, and it destroys faith. And we got to have faith. We got to live by faith and not by sight. And I want to encourage you, if you're finding that you are finding in unbelief, take the ifs and the buts out of your life and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil wants to test us. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. The devil can parade and show himself to be seemingly God. And that's the deception. You know, I can tell you now, the devil knows the Bible better than you do. Do you know that? He knows the Bible better than you do, and he knows how to twist it. And look how he even twisted it with the Lord himself He tried to twist the word and put you off course just by a little bit. That's how clever he is. And you see, we need discernment. You see, there are false prophets and there's unscrupulous people out there and ministers out there that can take us away from the truth. And we need to be wise when it comes to those things. We need to understand that he will try and lead us astray. You see, the devil hates Christ. He hates the gospel of Christ. He hates truth. He hates good teaching. He hates true exposition of the Bible. It's in Hosea 4, verse 6, "But people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Knowledge of what? The scriptures. The word of God. Not many people are going back to the word of God. They're holding on to Google, and they're holding on to truths that are out there in encyclopedias, but they're not holding on to the word of God, which sets us free and brings us into a place of liberty. We need to recognize what is not the true presence of God, and we need to discern the counterfeit. Because the devil will come against us. I want to just encourage us here today. The devil will try and lead us astray, and we've all been led astray. He tries and puts us off 1% of course, and we think we are so close to the truth, but what actually happens, we can be led astray because over a period of time, you can be so far away from the truth. And I want to encourage you, don't read up on the cults and false doctrines because it will lead you astray. It will mess your heart up. See, I want to just encourage you that this thief, the devil, in John 10:10, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus has come that we might have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. Now, how does the devil do that? He's very clever, and I've got some D's here. He brings distraction. As I said earlier, he masquerades as an angel of light. He puts us off the course so easily. And I want to encourage you, just be careful if you get distracted. And how do you do that? And how do you prevent being distracted? Remain in the Word of God, remain with brothers and sisters, submit to one another, work together with your leaders, because we don't have all the truth, and God wants to bring us to the truth. I don't have all the truth, and God, as we work together as a team, we bring the truth, and when the truth comes, it sets us free. Be careful of deception. We can get deceived. He deceived Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. He's still doing that work here today. Don't be deceived. That's his native language. He brings division. He breaks unity. If you find there's divisiveness in your relationships and there's divisiveness in your family, I want to encourage you, sort it out, because the root comes from the evil one, and we've got to break that thing. And then fourthly, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 3, I'm not going to read it all. Now the Spirit clearly expresses that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared as with a hot iron. Doctrines of demons. There's stuff out there that's not always truth. And you've got to be very careful what you need to be discerning. You need the spirit of discernment, because the devil is parading out there with truth. Can I just say, things are happening out there with the gender situation, and it's becoming truth in the world. And this thing is, yes, we must honor people and we must respect them for who they are, but God made them male and female. Male and female, not LGBT. So we've got to be very wise when you think, because there's a doctrine that's going out there that's saying that is right. And we're going to have to deal with those things. We're not facing it in South Africa at the moment, but it's happening. You know, our youngsters at school are facing stuff that we've never faced. And this whole homosexuality thing is a big thing, fuck. We need to be praying for the schools. And the kids are falling prey to homosexuality. It's the in thing at the moment. And kids don't know what they're dabbling in. Christian kids are falling to it. And I want to just say, we need to stand against that thing, and we need to train our children, and we need to pray for those schools and pray for those Christian teachers in those schools that they be able to stand against that thing. It's become the norm, and we can't allow that to happen. So it's not only in that area, but there are many areas where the doctrines of demons are taking place. It comes into the, can I say, corruption has become a norm. You know, if you don't bribe, you can't do business. And we've got to stand against that. We've got to be people of integrity. I know it's hard, but we've got to be integrous in those things. And you know, God will test us in these areas. What do we stand for? These things will come across your path, and I want to encourage you, stand for what is right. Stand for what is right. And that might not seem big things to you, but we've got to make a stand for Jesus. And when we make a stand for Jesus, not always proclaiming from the rooftops, but in those simple transactions when things come in. You know, I'm just sensing my heart here. Someone says to you, let's do this transaction, cash, don't pay the VAT. Please don't do that. Because you open up a door for the enemy to come and attack you and rob you. We do things with integrity. Pay your tax. I know you don't like the tax man, and neither do I. I think he takes too much. But the reality is, God is more than enough. Because if you don't like the tax man, you don't like God. Because he's asking you to tithe and bring offerings. So be a cheerful giver. I look at it from a different view. When I look at my tax, thank you, Lord, I have to give him. I don't want to pay him too much. So you must do it wisely. You must do it properly. But pay your tax. Jesus says, pay the temple tax that we may not offend them. So when you don't offend them, you actually take the offense away from your heart, because you can stand and you can look at the SARS bill coming through and you get offended, don't you? And you look at Mr. Zuma and his government and say, look how they're abusing the money. That's got nothing to do with us. Actually, it's the same when you give your tithes and offering to God. You've given it. It's those that are accountable and responsible are before God, how they use it. It's not your responsibility. And with your tax too. And I know we see it full of the headlines, and yes, we want to stand against corruption and we must pray against that. But actually, we mustn't get our hearts burdened in this process. There's stuff going down in South Africa, folk. And keep praying for righteousness. Pray for these things to be exposed. But don't get your heart caught up in it. Because you'll get burdened. You'll get so antagonistic and that you want to get on the next plane and go somewhere else. Don't do that. Don't have blinkers, but pray and trust God to work those things out. Don't get ensnared and get hooked with the things that are taking place in our nation. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's not get discouraged in this time, because the news out there is very discouraging. Don't get discouraged. Let's keep our eyes upon Jesus, and the devil will try and do that. He will try and lead us to get our eyes off Jesus. Deliverance from evil. There are degrees of need for deliverance. The most serious is when Christians get demonized, and that is a reality. Christians can get demonized. You can open up a door to a demon, and I don't believe it can possess you as a Christian, but you can get it can attach itself to you and have an influence over your lives. Those who are unbelievers, and as Franco mentioned to us today, there was a girl yesterday that didn't believe upon the Lord but was demonized, and that's not demonized, possessed. There was a devil devils inside of her, and she needed to be set free. And isn't that wonderful? The name of Jesus comes and we can actually cast those devils out. So the question I ask you, when last did you cast a devil out? Hey? Because it's your responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility, it's your responsibility. Matthew 16 says that you will cast devils out. And I think we're scared. We've been given authority. And if you recognize the outworking of darkness that's working in someone's lives, lay hands upon them and work and cast them out. You don't have to get all this fancy stuff and get names and all that stuff. I'm not going to get into that stuff. But when you see that authority there, we are to set the captives free. And you know, when people are demonized or possessed by a devil, they are captive. They're in bondage. They're in a terrible place. And here we have this authority to set them free. Yes, we need to be wise, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be doing these things properly. And I think we've got to be wise. But let's not shy away from this thing. Let's not be like the sons of Sceva that were going around in the name of Jesus casting all demons out. And they said, now Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and then they beat them up. Because they were abusing the authority of the name of Jesus, and they didn't have the authority to do it. But the early church was going out casting devils out. And so often today, I think we put people that are supposed to have devils, we put them in institutions. And you don't see them in society. In the olden days, people ran around society and you could see people. A man from Gadara was seen. And the authority of darkness was seen. But I think the devil today is so clever. There are many that are demonized. many, and we're not dealing with it. I had a group financial director that we used to work at Consul with. This man had a violent temper, abusive language that came out of his mouth like you cannot believe. But we had to work with him. You know, he was the group financial guy, and we had to bring stuff through to him. But God taught us, take authority over that devil. Now, we couldn't cast that devil out, but we took authority over the devil. And before we got in there, we said, Satan, we resist you. We do not allow you to exhibit yourself. And he was like a lamb. We walked in there, presented our paperwork. He went through stuff and worked things out, walked out the office. His secretary got the tirade that went through. It's an authority thing. And, you know, there's a lot of this stuff hanging around there. So don't be duped to think the devil's not out there and he's not working his darkness. See, we can't totally ignore the devil. We need to know that. But we can't be totally preoccupied with the devil too. You see, there are so many Christians too that they've just caught up. Spiritual warfare is part of our walk. And we need to be fighting and resisting, but we cannot make it the main thing. Jesus has got to become the main thing. The gospel of Christ has got to become the main thing, and we can't be preoccupied with that, but we need to take our authority. Just a thought. We need to set people free, but let me tell you, the greatest way to set people free is forgiveness. If you've got demons running around in your life, invariably there's unforgiveness. I've seen it over the years that we've been dealing with people. There's broken relationships and there's unforgiveness. And there's a demon. And as soon as there's forgiveness, as soon as there's reconciliation, they're free. They're free. The devil's very clever because that's a right he has to come and kill and destroy. And I want to encourage you, if you're dealing with people and there's their broken relationships, the devil gets in so very powerfully. Okay, the three R's for spiritual warfare. Recognize. We need to be able to recognize when the evil one's at work. Don't confuse feelings and flesh. Recognize. We need the gift of discernment. We all have an inner witness. We know, Bible tells us this inner witness, the candle of the Lord within our hearts. We can know when things are wrong. But we need the gift of discernment, 1 Corinthians 12. We need to be praying for that. The church needs to be praying for that. When the demonic is actually working, we need to be discerning. Not just the leaders, all of us need to be discerning what is this of the devil. And the biggest thing is when it's a half-truth. It's easy to identify when it's total darkness, but when it's a half-truth or a white lie, that's the thing where we really need to be discerning. Where is this thing coming from? And I want to just say to you today here, God never appointed the elders of this church to be in authority, to be someone that can take authority. They are here as shepherds to protect you. God's anointed us, and we. You know what? I want to say to you something now. You've never heard it. I never looked for this job. I didn't. I was very happy in the world out there, serving God in the role of finance. But God put his hand upon me, and he called me to this role. I'm not a theologian. I'm called to a pastor, and I submitted to the God, and I rejoice, and I really relish in what I'm doing here. So I never chose this job. But I want to just say, God has put authority on us here to protect you. This is not to hurt you. And when we're hard with you or firm with you, we're here to protect you. We're not against you. We love you. And there's something when the church works together with the shepherds and submits to the shepherds, it brings freedom and liberty. We're not always right. Do you know that? And actually, God will allow you to walk with us when we're not right. But will you submit? Because God will back even the wrong decision. Go and read your scriptures. Even when there were wrong decisions of those that God called to lead, when they were wrong, not that they are justified in that, but God will back them. I don't know how it works. I've seen that in Scripture. And I've seen it over the years. And God can change our hearts too. We also want to be led by the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you, we are here as shepherds to protect you, to chase the wolves. And there are wolves out there. And that's why elders are placed in the life of the church, is actually to protect the sheep. Take us out of here. You'll be scattered in a year. Do you know that? This church will not exist in a year. You'll be scattered. Take us out. And that's why the devil tries to take us out first. I'm priority numero uno. Oh, for attack, take me out. You put this church into disarray. I'm not more important than you. I'm not. But that's what the devil tries to do. But just hear our hearts. Where God's raised us up, we're not better than you. We have been given an office and an authority to protect you. So when you're praying, God, deliver us from the evil one, there's something when the elders are put in place there to protect you too. It's God's protection mechanism also for you. It's not just the angels running out there. He puts leadership in place to protect you. That's why you have fathers in families to protect the family. Isn't that incredible? Children, obey your parents. Important. Because if you're rebellious against them, it will not go well with you. The second one is to refuse. Refuse to think and accept the thoughts that the devil puts into your mind. In Philippians 4 verse 8 it says, finally brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praise, we think about such things. And then thirdly, resist. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9 verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. You need to resist. You need to fight some battles and you need to win some because you have the authority. And you need to not be devil preoccupied, but please submit to God and resist the devil. Resist. You know, Jesus walked in obedience to the Father, absolute obedience to the Father, double-edged sword. One hand, obedience to the Father, other hand, resisted the devil. We don't see that very clearly in Scripture, but he did that. When Peter was coming against the will of God, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And then watch and pray. Not pray and watch. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41. Lord, open our eyes that we can see what's happening around us. And the end of evil. Ultimately, we'll be totally delivered from evil. I don't believe there'll be evil in heaven. The evil one will be gone. As I said earlier, him and his devils will go to the lake of fire, and punishment for them will be forever and ever. His time is short, and that's why he's parading and he's trying to destroy the world. We need to see him, that he's going there forever. So do not get weak, but resist him and allow your Father to be strengthen you to be able to overcome. You see, in conclusion, we need a solid, sound doctrine of evil. It's essential for both good theological foundation and practical Christian living. So I say to you, pray the Lord's Prayer. And I encourage you, as the Lord said to us, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. You might be here today, and as we've been talking about the outworking of the evil one, you might even feel that you are demonized. There might be aspects in your life, and there might be even issues of unforgiveness in your heart, and you need to be set free. And I want to say this is the day that God can set you free. Not only did he set you free from the power of sin and death and darkness, but he also wants to set you free from the authority of the outworking of the devil, the evil one, and his demons. And if you're here today and you just sense that maybe you've been subjected to the authority of darkness and you've opened up a door, it's not a big major thing that we need to do. We just need to take authority. But I want you to just look at your heart first, and while every eye is closed and head bowed, and you just sense that there might be something, just deal with unforgiveness and issues of sin in your own heart where you've opened up the door. Just look at that first. That's why the Lord's table says to us, examine our own hearts. If we do more of that, freedom will come. If there's anyone here today, just eyes closed, you feel that you sense that there might be demonic authority that's operating in your life, just put your hand up and down. I want to just pray for you. Is anyone here today? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Father, we just thank you for the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. As we submit it to you, we resist the devil. And Satan, where you've had authority over individuals' lives here today and have worked out darkness, we command you to leave them now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all the praise due to you. And Lord, may this be our reality, that we fix our eyes upon Jesus, not the devil, but on you, Lord. And thank you for the authority that you've given us now as we continue to love you and to serve you and to worship you. May we continue to walk in this place of victory now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Come and join us for a cup of coffee, and there's some toasties that they're making up there. Oh yeah, sorry, Nikki wants to share with us. Sorry. Nikki will be a minute. She, my beloved, I forgot about her. Sorry.
So, I just wanted to thank Jesus just because he is just everything. So I really just wanted to give him honor today, and without him we would just be nowhere. And today I just want to just thank Mark and Andrea and Kayla and my parents. They've got an anniversary tomorrow, 53 years, and Mom and Tracy and all my sisters in Christ and all the intercessors and Myrna and the meals and this time. I know that you've just carried me in prayer, and I think I just lost God in this whole thing somewhere along the way, and trusted in doctors and in man, and got put on a whole lot of epileptic drugs, and kind of just got more fearful in it all. But through it, the one day the elders just said, let's just trust God that the doctors will say that we can get off the drugs. So although they still felt that was the thing, and the lack of sleep and all of that, I managed to get off of all those things. But yeah, and you know, we've got many, many opportunities that I missed, that I'm sorry for, and put people through pain, but we just thank God that he is a restorer, and for all of those that have stood by me, and that we have a great future. And God gave me so many prophetic words. I often didn't choose to stand on those. I chose to just believe in other, you know, like kind of my own carnal thinking. But salvation is just the greatest gift. And yeah, we've gone through a tough time with our family, even my extended family, with a lot of ill health, and even with Caroline when we were in hospital there, and people have sick brothers like Lynette, and we're just standing. But salvation is the greatest gift, and that's what we have. And we have we've got one life to live. So yeah, thank you for standing. I don't know how you all didn't just kind of leave with this face of mine that looked like it looked, and for the intercessors and for the gift you gave, the flowers, and apparently this gift. And I just with a huge big heart want to say thank you for standing with me and all the mad times. Thank you in Jesus' name.
She's not mad.
So thank you, Marky.
Father, we just thank you for Nikki, and Lord, thank you for the season that she's had to walk this. And thank you, Lord, that she's an overcomer in you. And then thank you, Lord, that you've brought her to a place of strength and continue to get stronger day by day. But thank you for a heart that is willing to submit to you, Lord. So thank you for the power of your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for total healing now and a life restored to serve you and glorify you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Lena, for all our meals.